B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Not Anthony Gargano, Bob Cooney with you here on Middays with Barrett Brooks,
yes,
former
sir.
Eagle, former
yes,
offensive lineman in the NFL, and someone who was more than perturbed yesterday following the Eagles' disgusting 37-31 loss to the Miami Dolphins.
I woke up and it wasn't a dream. We actually lost to the stinking Miami Dolphins, a 2-9 team. We lost, and y'all know me. I'm a glass house full guy.
Yes, you are.
I mean, even on the pre and post game show, you know, pregame, like, look, there's no way this team can lose to Miami. They will not play down to their competition. I mean, this should be a blowout. They should not score more than 10 points. I said this on the show, and that made me a liar. I am an absolute liar. Everything that I said in the pregame show was a lie because this team did exactly what I said they weren't going to do, and they lost this damn game.
And that's a sign of what? A bad team.
I mean, call a spade a spade. I mean, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, that means it's a duck. This is a bad team. Say what you want to say. Players are going to be mad at me. Coaches are going to be bitching at me. But, hey, I'm just going to tell it and keep it square. This is a bad team that does not know how to win.
Yeah. And it's funny because yesterday I'm watching the game and I had no reaction. I literally sat there for 3 hours kind of like, what in my mind, what's going on here?
Right.
My wife turned to me and she says, what's going on with you? You're not saying, I did not say a word during the game because I was just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Yet I had talked myself into and had said it on the air last week. I had some reservations about the game. I didn't think they were going to lose.
Of course not.
But you know, Jamie Lynch was saying that it's a feed up game. It's a slump busting game. But my point was, this team's not good enough that they can have a feed up game, that they can just expect to go somewhere. So I had that. I turned you guys on the post game yesterday, and I see you and Seth and even Ray. I mean, I could see that you guys were fuming, and you had to watch yourselves as you're speaking.
It was one of those things where I put on training wheels because I really wanted to be, Seth. Have you watched Seth? He held his composure for the most part.
Yeah.
But I really had to walk my way through that because there were times in which, you know, I mean, especially after I watched, you know, Coach Peterson in his press conference afterwards.
That's what got me the worst.
I was ready to blaze. You know, and I love Coach P. Coach Peterson, you know, we played during the same time. I knew him when he was playing. You know, we have a great relationship, you know, on and off the field.
Right.
I can talk to him. And for him to say that this Miami Dolphin team was a good team, it took me over the top.
He didn't say it once. He didn't say it twice. He referred to it three times. That they're a good football team. A good football team who had given up 37 and 41 points in the previous weeks to Cleveland and Buffalo.
Right.
A team that had scored only over 25 points only once so far this season. A team that everybody knew was trying to traded their number one cornerback, was trying to lose to get a better draft pick.
Traded their starting left tackle
the
anchor
also.
Of the offensive line. They traded him.
And to go in there and say they're a good football team. So that drove me over the top last night. I'm watching you guys. I can tell you're over the top. Producer Pat Egan walks in today.
He came in a little a-hole today, man.
Oh!
He came upstairs like that today.
He's running. Well, he walks in and I say, hey, in my jovial self, Barrett, I said, hey, Pat, how are you? I give him the hand wave. Not today, Bob. So what the hell are you talking about?
I don't need positivity.
Don't give it to. So he takes it to a new level. He takes it almost personally. You, I can understand. Trey, Seth, you guys put on the midnight green. You can bleed with what happened yesterday. Egan over there, you don't take a loss out by the Eagles on someone you work with. This needs to be corrected immediately.
This I knew was going to be a bad day. I see him. I walk in. He looks at me. He doesn't even say. I say, hey, what's up, Egan? He looks at me and says, I wonder what we're going to talk about today. That was what he said to me. What are we going to talk about today?
Just curious.
Sixers, Flyers. Flyers had a good month.
Flyers. Hey, there was five games played by professional sports teams this weekend, and they won four of them.
Here's what I come into. I come into Bob going, "Hi, Pat. Hi. How are you?" Nah, I didn't
just saying
that.
Hello.
Just saying hello.
Just saying hello.
Just a normal Monday for Bob.
But yeah, this. No, I mean, you know, I feel it. It's. I've been through more of them than you guys have, but. To me, it's a day of, obviously, everybody's pissed off, and I want to hear from you, 610-632-0975. Who is it, though? Who's to blame? You know, you can go around everywhere, but give me, I want specifically who's to blame. Now, I'll do the obvious, so I'll take it off the board. Everything comes under, and Barrett, as you said, that press conference yesterday by Doug Peterson, that ticked you off.
Oh, no question.
It ticked me off. But one of the things he said that made the arrow go right at him as far as blame, he said, well, I'm the leader. I'm the key leader of this team. He said it talking about something else, but that's true. So all the umbrella that comes underneath of him, it all goes back to him. So Jim Schwartz did not have a good day yesterday, I don't think.
No, he didn't.
Doug Peterson had a horrible day. Whatever Groh and those other guys do under the offensive pyramid that they have, whatever they do, they didn't do it well yesterday. The fact that they didn't run the ball hardly at all in the second half is mystifying. You're up 28, and people say, yeah, you got up two touchdowns. They actually then gave up a touchdown in six plays in like 3 minutes. So they were up 28-20. With the ball, with the chance to just run, build that offense, really put Miami not away, but if you go up, you know, you go up 35-20, you're looking pretty good, I think.
No question.
And what do? It's throw, 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 throw. Sanders averaging 5.5 yards. He ran for 5.9 in the first half.
And that's what makes me dumbfounded, because you look at him, he's running consistently, and you know what? To tell you the truth, that's kind of, I mean, that's the real reason why I disagree with what Max said today, what McNabb said. You know, talking about that Sanders is not an every down back. We don't know if he's an every down back unless he runs every down. He is an every down back, because when he gave him the opportunity to do it in the first half, he did it. Almost 5 yards a carry when he was carrying the ball. And then we just take it away from him? Why does he have a damn pitch count? He's young. He has young legs. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. A dominant back to me, or you know, a horse, however you want to label it, that's a guy who does it through a sustained amount of time.
Absolutely.
Yesterday, for one game, you needed Miles Sanders to be that horse. For one game. Yesterday was a 25-rush game for him.
No question.
It should have been. And
the 31st-ranked defense against the damn run.
Yeah. You're going against the worst defense against the run. You have a lead, and your defense can't play well. I'm sorry, those are three ingredients that lead to the recipe of let's run the football.
Keep the ball out of that. We should have treated him like Brady. Keep the ball out of his hands. I mean, run the clock as much as we can to keep him from getting on the field, because him and Devontae Parker, it was like they were born out of the same wound, the way they were connecting.
Yeah.
Like they were twins. Like they had some kind of psychic connection out there on the field. He just said, throw it up. I've been a part of games where I've seen guys do that. Hey, I don't care what it is. Just throw it up to me. I got his number. I got his heart. Point blank.
Yeah, and the defensive backfield, those guys, they looked Super Bowl-ish yesterday. They looked like they were playing against Tom Brady, as you mentioned that name before, Barrett. It's maddening that they cannot make plays on 50-50 balls. It's maddening that other opposing wide receivers and quarterbacks seem to have some of their best games when they go against this defensive secondary. And I don't know, the next time I see a safety come over when there's a pass, one-on-one coverage, and a safety come over and actually help break up a play by the Eagles, will probably be the first time since Brian Dawkins was here.
I might do a flip, man.
I haven't seen it in years. I don't know what it
is. How about this? When you see the best receiver lined up one-on-one, man-to-man, and you're the deep safety, the middle-of-the-field safety on cover three, how about we lean over a little bit?
Yeah,
people
about a little cheating?
Let's cheat over just a little bit, a couple of steps. I'm not saying, you know, half the field, but just a couple of steps, knowing that he's going to get the ball. period.
Yeah, I don't know. So what's your frustrations today? And my big question out there is, who do you blame? Who do you blame for this loss? Give me a specific, be a particular, maybe a play of the game that you blame, whoever it may be. Mine goes to the coach, Doug Peterson. 610-632-0975, Midday Show. I'm Bob Cooney with Barrett Brooks. Time at the Fanatic 1011.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Bob Cooney here for Anthony Gargano today with Barrett Brooks. We got Pat Egan producing. I should say the miserable Pat Egan, I think, Barrett. That would be appropriate, right?
Absolutely, man. You know, talk about a guy that just, he woke up on the wrong side of bed every day of his life, man.
Well, that's not true.
I've seen Pat happy before. But I haven't. He encompasses what this whole Delaware Valley is about today.
They are just not happy. Should have seen me. I was very happy.
You tried to show me when we were back in the room when I was doing my research. You showed me your smile. It just didn't look like a smile. I don't know what it was, man, but
gas.
I see you tried.
Woo! Well, this is the 10 a.m. hour, and it is brought to you by Football Monday. I'm sorry. Football Monday is on the Fanatic is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to help keep you warm this season. And the 10 a.m. hour is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Now, Barrett, I put it out there. I said, what I'm looking for from everybody today is who do you blame? And I want it specific. Many of us can say the same person, but give us your exact reasoning. Mine goes to the head coach, and it goes to the head coach because I think everyone under him, the umbrella of him, is ill-prepared.
No question. Yep.
And the fact that there aren't changes made, the fact that you go into games, to me, outsider looking in, that I see the same offense trying to be run no matter what the defense presents. The fact that you cannot stop leaning on a passing game, even if your quarterback isn't having his greatest of seasons, even though you're facing a team that is the worst in the NFL in running, and you're having success doing it, and your defense isn't playing well, which means you should run the ball to keep them off the field. Just adjustments like that all, to me, fall on Doug Peterson. Now, what's your main reason for blame in this team that is 5-7 that many of us expected to be Super Bowl bound this year?
Ditto. Yeah. I mean, this all has to come under, you know, Coach P's preparation for the game. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say that they don't prepare well. I mean, no, they prepare hard, but I don't know if they prepare well. At this point, you know, going into a season, I mean, and let me tell you why I'm saying this. I'm going to come from my playing experience.
All right.
I've been a part of a championship team. I won a Super Bowl also. And while I was preparing for that, I understood that it takes being in practice and practicing at a higher level, practicing like a champion. And that's the difference between what I see from this Eagles team in their preparation than stem from that Steelers team I had and their preparation. When we were there, we made sure that we practiced so hard that it was times where our head coach would tell us, Kyle would say, hey, guys, if you don't stop, I'm going to cancel practice. I'm going to take it inside. And we literally like, nah, coach, we try to win a championship. But look, you guys got to take care of each other.
Yeah.
We are taking care of each other. But we were practiced at a level in which it would be easy going into a game because we knew we practiced against the best players. I mean, after every practice, you know, at the point, Joey Porter, defensive end / linebacker,
right,
knew that he was going to get his butt kicked every time he's in practice. He knew he was going to get everybody's best. You know, Casey Hampson's the same way. Troy Polamalu made great plays because right. He practiced great
playing
during
great.
Practice.
Yeah.
You have to practice to be great. It's not something that you turn on and off. And we're expecting this team to go out there and turn it on the field. No, you have to prepare in practice to be great. This team doesn't practice to be great. In fact, you were telling me that they didn't practice on Thanksgiving.
They didn't practice on Thanksgiving, no.
What kind of stuff is that?
The coaches came in, but the players didn't.
Are
Trey
you
said
kidding
the same
me?
Exact thing.
I never not practice. There wasn't a time that I didn't practice. In fact, I used to hate it on Thanksgiving because we had to weigh in on Thursdays. Well, Thanksgiving's on a Thursday. We come to practice and weigh in even a Thursday, even though we're supposed to have Thanksgiving.
Right.
Had to weigh in. And at that time, it was $998 a pound. And if you were overweight any, you would get charged for every pound, $989.
Why 989? That's a random number.
I guess it couldn't be $1,000 during that time during the collective bargaining agreement back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we practiced on that day. So if I wasn't practicing for the last 12, when I was playing for 12 years, if I wasn't practicing, I was either not practicing or playing in the game. I was either practicing or playing in the game, one or two. You know, I played with Detroit, you know, all those years. They play it on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I don't understand conceptually how you don't practice during the week when you got a game on Sunday when you've been playing. You just got your ass kicked for the past 2 weeks.
Well, it's funny you bring up the Steelers because last night, game's over. I guess the late games were on, or it was between the late game and the 8:30 game, you know, the late afternoon games. And Mike Tomlin comes on my TV set. All right. Now, they started the season 1-4. Obviously, they lost Roethlisberger, the whole Brown saga, everything that went on before with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, it's a coach that's kind of been through the ring over the last couple of years. But that's a winning organization.
Right.
So they start 1-4 this year. They've won 6 of their last 7. I don't even know who they're putting a quarterback anymore with all the things. And here's what his quote was. And God, it just resonated to me as what the Eagles should say. So this is what Mike Tomlin said last night after a Steelers game. Man, at this time of year, forget the opposition. It's about you being able to execute your plan to a level that allows you to win games. We need to focus on our guys and what they do. Now, that couldn't translate to me any more to Doug Peterson and the Eagles than anything else, because they're not fixing themselves. Forget your opposition. And yesterday they did because they played down to a level. Maybe they're just not that good enough of a team. I don't know. But they're certainly not worried about themselves. They're not taking care of themselves
right now. Absolutely.
And so what Tomlin said kind of resonated with me as far as it pertained to the Eagles. 610-632-0975. Let's get to the phone real quick. Barrett, David from Baltimore, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. All right, Bob, before I get to my point on the Eagles game, I want to rescind the comment I made to you before the season started. Okay, Nick Foles sucks. I admit it. He really can't play out of Philly. I don't know why he only seems to play well in Philly. But here's the thing. Like, I am a big Nick Foles supporter, but I'm kind of done with it, comparing them. I understand Carson's the quarterback. But here's the thing I don't understand. Like, before the season even started, everybody was gung-ho, and I wasn't trying to be a hater. I simply asked, what did this team do to make themselves any better? Because to be honest, they weren't very good last year either. They barely got into the playoffs. And the only reason they got in was because they won the last 3 games and they needed a miracle from the Bears. So they didn't really do much in the offseason. They got Howard and Sanders, and then they got an aging DeSean Jackson. And then they expected to go 13-3 this year? Like, something doesn't compute. You sucked last year. Why would you suck any less this year? And just this entire team is so messed up. There's a million people to blame for this. And people are calling now for Doug Peterson's head. Look, I don't believe Doug. You cannot go from making great calls to an absolute moron. I don't believe it. And there's so
Real quick, David, what are the great calls that he made?
I'm saying, you know, a couple years ago when we won the Super Bowl, he was gutsy. He played with an edge. He was willing to take it to the other team, and now they look like a bunch of pussycats.
So
and
real quick, who do you
want to do out there?
Who do you blame? Who do you blame for them being 5-7?
I think it's an entire team blame. It starts with Doug, but this whole look to me. We are in trouble. They have to rebuild next year, and they have to start from scratch and pretend 2017 never happened. Because I think this team is so mentally messed up in the head right now. I don't think Doug knows what to call. I don't think Carson believes in anything. I think when they walk onto the field, I don't believe one player on that team thinks they're going to win the game. And to me, that's a major, major problem. And if Doug can't fix that, yeah, you're right. He has to be fired. But if that cannot be fixed, they are in big trouble.
Yeah, David, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Good points. I think the only thing last year is David saying they sucked. Well, you did have a quarterback with a broken back.
Right.
And you did have a quarterback that rushed back. And I'm not making excuses, but you did have a quarterback that came back from serious knee injury. And so I think now going forward, moving to the start of this season, I think the optimism was healthy quarterback, wide receiver, albeit 32 years old, but that can take things over the top and open things up for a tight end that had 116 catches last year, a running back that a young running back that looked like he could be a bulldog in there, and that you drafted another running back that could be the lightning to that thunder. Wide receivers, I think people going into the season thought that Alshon Jeffrey was going to be good, and Nelson Agholor and Matt Collins wouldn't have the fall that they did.
Yep.
I was worried defensively, but you had a defensive line that we thought was going to be dominant and therefore help out a secondary that was suspect but growing.
Well, you're right in all that. I mean, I'll give you a bag of excuses all day. You know,
right.
I mean that they can use. Jackson and Jackson. You know, Malik Jackson,
yeah.
DeSean Jackson. They're not playing. Both of those guys on IR. I'll give you that. The fact that, you know, the defense is just now getting to a point where they can compete. Well, they didn't compete this last game yesterday.
Yeah.
But they started playing better. They turned the corner. But still, though, you have to play through those. Every team out there is going to go through times where they're not going to be healthy enough, you know. I mean, you look at the Patriots. Man, they lost their starting, you know, first-round pick receiver.
Right.
Still played without him.
Yeah.
They don't have a running game. Still finding a way to win. You know, those are things, you know, you as the season goes on, you progress. And I see us regressing instead of progressing. You know, you look at these are the top. I know I sound like a broken record, but this is the time of the season where you start running the rock. This is the time of season. This is where you start dominating. This is where you turn the corner, and this is where the men get separated from the boys. And we definitely are going through a separation. We're just going in the opposite direction. You run the ball in November, December to set you up for the playoffs in January.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a corner to be turned. Is this team good enough to what corner?
We turned the corner. It's just going back the other way.
You did a whole turn instead of just a 45 degree or whatever it is. Charles from Bluebell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
All right, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Listen, what I saw yesterday was an abomination. And when I see an abomination, my first words are, who's in charge here? I lay this at the feet of Howie Roseman.
Okay.
First of all, as an NFL executive, he's just not a lead dog. You know, who did you sit under? Who did you study under? Like, I just listened to Barrett Brooks talk about his NFL career, longtime NFL career under Pittsburgh. Barrett Brooks got his start here under offensive line coach Bill Callahan, who's still coaching the Redskins right now as the interim coach. See, he got his start. Where did Howie Roseman get his start? Who did he sit under and train under?
Well, it was Joe Banner, and if there's anything Howie does do well, it's the salary cap that Joe Banner was so good at. But
he's not a lead dog. Howie Roseman picked the talent on his team. Even the coach he picked, the coach didn't even pick the defensive coordinator. Howie Roseman did. And by the way, the D coordinator looked like he was working in the suntan yesterday with his shades on.
You don't like that the look that Schwartz was giving off yesterday, Charles?
Well, they're not in sync. You know, a few weeks we get good defense, then yesterday we get a good offense, no defense. This is all, I lay all this blame at the feet of Howie Roseman, who picked all the talent on the team. You know, Derek Barnett and Sidney Jones, first and second round draft picks. Have we gotten any real production out of that?
No, Barnett looked good early yesterday, and just like the rest of the defensive line, Charles, where did they go?
Exactly, overall. And by the way, I'm going to make a comparison. Did you see that Ravens team yesterday?
I saw a little bit of it.
They're going to the Super Bowl because they play hard for that quarterback, and more importantly, they play hard for each other. They have a simple-minded former coach here, John Harbaugh, who, by the way, he wasn't part of Andy Reid's coaching tree. Ray Rhodes hired John Harbaugh, and Andy Reid retained him.
Okay.
They're going to the Super Bowl, and again, look at the talent on the team. You know, they played hard yesterday for each other. And by the way, that was the best defense I ever saw this year, the 49ers.
They are good. They are a very, very good defensive team. You're right. Thanks, Charles. You got it. Howie Roseman. All right, he lays on Howie Roseman.
You know what? I can't say that because
he hasn't had a great year.
No, well, the guys are hurt. You know, I understand that. You know, the guys that he put in place that are supposed to be superstars for this team are hurt right now. I get it. But as a coach, you know, you coach the players you have on that team. There are going to be times where you're not going to have the best of talent, but you have to coach around that. And it's fundamentals that this team is lacking. I'm not going to necessarily say it has everything to do with the athletic talent that's on the field. You coach around inequities. You don't allow yourself to give yourself an excuse. Fundamentally, this team is flawed. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest reason why this team loses so much. They're fundamentally flawed. They're not coached right. As a DB, if you are, you use the sideline as your aid.
Yeah.
When you're playing out there, you know you're going man-to-man. Never let a DB, the receiver on the inside. You got to play inside out. You got to make sure that you use that. And you don't watch the quarterback. If you're man-to-man, wherever that man goes, you go over there and you follow him. He goes to get some Gatorade off the bench, you follow him there. I'm tired of always turning around, looking at the quarterback instead of watching him. Watch your damn man. Don't go anywhere else. Wherever he goes, you go with him. If his shoelace is unlaced, you tied for him.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. We don't do that. We're always trying to do too much or not enough.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's what this team, fundamentally, we're so flawed. I mean, just like, all right, you guys talked about this morning, I'm listening to Drive In, on how to play screens. Trey was exactly right. When you run screens, there are assignments on screen plays that you follow. All right, when you follow, you set, punch, and then you go. If you look at it, the first guy, the first uncovered lineman has the mugger. The mugger is the guy that's responsible for the running back or the tight end or whoever it is. You get him. That's who he gets first. So the first guy out gets him. The second guy out, he goes out and he's going to get the widest defender. Then the third guy out goes up the alley, and that's how you block it. Pure point blank. That way you have it in your head. So if somebody else gets there before you, he takes that assignment. He's got to take the mugger. Then the other guy's got to go out and get the widest guy. Then the third guy goes and gets the, it's assignments to it.
Right.
And I can sit down with any coach. I can sit down with even Doug Peterson. I can go sit down with offensive line coach. I can sit down with Grow, and I can go through all the rules. You play fundamental with those rules, your team will get better because now you know the assignments you're supposed to do. That way people can play off of each other. We don't play off each other. Everybody just plays and do their own thing.
And that's what worries me about this coaching staff. So what you just talked about, Brad, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a Tuesday to Friday thing.
Absolutely.
That is totally getting prepared, getting your fundamentals down, getting your plays down to where they want to go and where you want people to be. All right, there's one flaw that you just pointed out. My flaw is the in-game coaching.
Oh, yeah.
I know from coaching basketball. I look at a team, I see weaknesses, I exploit them.
Exactly.
I see something that we're doing well, I play to it. I don't see that with this coaching
staff.
Absolutely
not.
I don't see things change week to week. I saw a Miami team yesterday not target the kid from Penn State, Gesicki, once. I didn't see him get targeted once in the first half. What do they do in the second half? They go empty backfield, throw, 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 hit him all over the place. Fitzgerald goes 10 for 10, and boom, they're scoring on, you know, 6 of 6 possessions. I mean, it was an adjustment they made. Doug Peterson, you're running the ball against the worst running defense in the league, and you're having great success doing it, and you stop. And you're ahead in the game.
I'm dumbfounded on the fact that we do that. I mean, why do we stop running the rock when it's working?
I don't get it. It's equivalent to Joel Embiid posting up a 6-footer and you throw it to him 50 straight times. You don't have to get away from that.
No.
If it works, keep doing it.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, you're going to have some 1-yard runs or maybe even a loss, but you keep going at it, you're going to be okay, especially with this offensive line and the way they're made up. It doesn't make sense to me. But Doug Peterson will talk today at noon, and we'll carry that live. We're hoping to get Bob Ford from the Inquirer on later. Bob wrote a column yesterday, and the headline on it, Barrett, in the Sunday paper was, Eagles could choke on a cupcake game.
Wow.
And Ford listed, and Bob is such a step back and see the big picture kind of guy, never gets caught in the moments, what I love about reading him. And spot on. Spot on yesterday, and then his column today is just, you know, they're not good enough. And it's blatantly obvious right now. I didn't even tell you this before the show, Barrett. I don't even want to talk anything past yesterday. I'm not looking ahead, nothing. I want us all to stew in yesterday together. 610-632-0975. Brian, Trent, Dwayne, and Carlos. We'll get to you when we get back from the break. Time at the Fanatic 1040.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So, Barrett, my previous life, I was one of those sports writers dudes that you didn't like as a player.
I remember.
So, the Daily News today, front page, gotta love it. Shout out to my friend Joe Berkey, who I'm sure was in charge of this. Flippers 37, Floppers 31. That's pretty good. Because there was a lot of defining flopping however you want. Zach Ertz going out for, I think, one of his first passes of the game, flopping to the ground, almost got picked off. I've never seen defensive backs try to... We make fun of Nelson Agholor not being able to track a ball.
Right, right.
Can Ronald Darby or Jalen Mills track a ball either? I see them, like, they see it. They know there's a guy running and they're supposed to stop it. But then their feet aren't under them to jump, or they don't get a hand anywhere close to where they're supposed to, or... You know, I always thought, okay, I'm not going to get it on the jump. And it happened once with the Eagles yesterday. If the guy goes up in the air to grab it, if I'm still there with him, as he's coming down, strip the ball.
Yeah.
Do something.
That's fundamentals. They're fundamentally flawed. They're always in a chase position as opposed to being in a defense-to-pass position. I mean, you're taught early as a DB, man-to-man, like I said, or, you know, even when they're in zone, when you get a nine route, you get a route to straight up the field, a go route. It turns to the man, essentially, because, you know, how things work out.
Right.
Well, take inside leverage, run with them, and you watch the eyes of the... If you're going to turn around and make the play, you got to be fast enough, but you're chasing, so you're not fast enough to do that. That's number one. Number two, when you are defending, watch the eyes of the wide receiver. Because he's going to look at it and put his hands up. As soon as the ball gets there, he's going to look up, put his hands up there. Then you have more of a sense on where the ball is. He'll tell you that. And if you're playing man-to-man the right way, that's what you do.
Right.
But to run man-to-man and then turn around and look at the quarterback, that means you're trying to guard the quarterback as a man and the receiver. It's just not feasible. You just can't do it. You're not fast enough, number one. Number two... It just doesn't make sense because now you get they gain an advantage on you as far as creating separation with between you and the receiver. It's just they're just fundamentally flawed on how they try to approach things.
Yeah.
Playing head up or outside technique when you're man to man, leaving the whole interior of the field, you just don't do that. You know, contain it. You know, get inside leverage and force him to go where you want him to go. And if you're gonna play man to man, get your hands on him. I watched them miss so many times on their bump and run or just bailing out on their bump and run. I mean, if it's bump and run, you bump a guy, then you run. Not run and then think about bumping. It's fundamentally fraud.
Because there is that little thing called a penalty after 5 yards, right? Yeah, tackling hasn't been good for a couple of years. I mean, it was god-awful last year. It hasn't gotten much better this year.
No.
Nate Gary being probably your most this hurts coming out of my mouth. Reliable linebacker this year?
He is our best linebacker this year. There's no question. And I like the way the kid is playing. The kid is starting to play.
He hustles and he plays hard, but God, he can't tackle in the open field.
He's trying to put his whole body into the tackle and not wrap it up. He's trying to knock guys down. You don't have enough ass, man, to try to knock people down like that. You know what I'm saying?
All right, bring up that point. Because you were talking about that, and we'll get back to the phones in just 1 second. 610-632-0975. We were talking during the break, and you had a really neat observation about, we talked about them not being there on Thanksgiving Day, which you disagreed with. You took it further as far as NFL bodies.
Well, at this point, you know, I'm looking at that team, and I'm looking at other players of other teams. I mean, even anywhere you want to look. I mean, look at the way the body of our players. Now, Jalen Mills looks the part. He has an NFL body now. Because he has some inefficiencies in speed, he has to use physicality as what he uses to be a better player. So you can tell that he's in the weight room. He lifts. He makes sure he does the little thing so he can be a physical player. But then I look at a guy like Sidney Jones, who's too light in the butt to redirect defenders. Or I don't know if he's scared of lifting weights or whatever. But he's too damn skinny going into his third year and looking like that. I mean, there's a weight room. Use it. I mean, hell, let me go use it. I need to use it. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. You know, I'm thinking, hey, Jay, come on, babe.
Nelson Agholor?
You know.
Is that another one?
He's too skinny.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Matt Kyle. Look, it's like he's allergic to the weight room also. It must be some type of disease in there or something because he's not in there. You look at him, he's not, he doesn't have an NFL body. Where are the guys with NFL body? I look at other guys with other receivers. They look like they've been in the weight room.
Look the part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the weight room is your friend. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing in there that's going to hurt you. It'll help you. And I see these guys don't have their NFL bodies. They're not developing as far as strength-wise to be an NFL player. They're too light in the ass. They're not physical enough. They can't do the things that you can do because they lack the strength to go out there and be an opposing threat to anybody.
Well, Doug Peterson, when he spoke yesterday, did the same thing to you as he did to me. He really ticked us off.
Oh, man.
And he'll talk again today at noon. We'll carry that live. We're also going to have Bob Ford from the Inquirer. He's coming back from Miami, so he has a layover in Charlotte. So I think we're going to get him in the 1 o'clock hour. Be interesting to talk to him because, as I said earlier, he had a column yesterday with the headline on the story was, the Eagles could choke on this cupcake. And Bob was absolutely right. Carlos, Washington, D.C., you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, not too much, man. I love the show. My father's from Philly, graduated from Central High School.
What number? Central what?
Oh, man, I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, man, that's a great thing about Central High School. If they don't do years, they do number of class.
What?
So you could, you would be like Central 243.
Exactly. Are you kidding?
Right? Nah, that's how it goes. So go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, I agree with y'all. Team is fundamentally flawed. Doug Peterson is the issue right now because he's not playing to his team's strengths, which is running the ball. Howie Roseman traded for Jordan Howard to replace LeGarrette Blount to give him, you know, the same type back that he used in order to get to the Super Bowl. And we're not helping our defense because we're not running the ball. We have to run the ball. I think next year that Grove needs to be demoted and Peterson needs to relinquish the play calling duties and bring in somebody a little bit younger.
La la.
So the popular name, Carlos, when you say something like that, is Deuce Staley. Now, that would be bringing another guy in-house in an offense that has been inadequate for most of this season and last, even though you had a hurt quarterback, whatever it may be. Are you good with going in-house, or are you looking for someone else altogether?
Deuce Staley, I think that he would be adequate, but at the same time, yeah. You know what? I say definitely give Deuce one or 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, but my thing is, the game plan we use against Green Bay is the game plan that we need to use every single game. Wentz doesn't need to pass the ball more than 27 times if we can keep it like that. The more he passes, the more likelihood is that he can get hit. Another thing we got to look at, Doug Peters is an ex-quarterback, Jason Garrett, ex-quarterback. Jerry Jones took the play calling duties from Jason Garrett because he was passing too much. I think that Peterson, that's why he's kind of trying to relive his glory days through Wentz by passing all the time because it doesn't fit the personnel that we have. What type of scheme do we run? What do we call our offenses? The West Coast, what is it? We're out the shotgun every play.
It's a good point. Thanks, Carlos. Thanks for the call. It's a good point. You just don't know exactly what this offense is. Mm. You paid the quarterback, and it made you believe you knew what the offense was. But I don't know if Doug Peterson feels an obligation to go to the pass more because he's your franchise quarterback.
It might be trying to legitimize the money that we spent for him or about to spend for him. His contract kicks in next year.
Right.
And looking at it, you know, I mean, you look at the greats. You know, you look at Drew Brees down there and his head coach. You know, you look at, you know, Brady and his head coach.
Right.
I mean, I think he wants to tie the two together and use Carson in that type of way. You know, he wants to have his name, I think, recognized with him. Because I can't logically think why we don't run the ball and we're having success with it when we know. I heard earlier on the day with you guys that a caller called in and they said that if you look at it, anytime the Eagles run for more than 100, like with 120 yards, 130 yards,
right,
they were saying that they were like 17-2. And, I mean, if that's the case, then that's, to me, success. The ultimate goal is winning games, not highlighting a player,
mm-hmm.
not showing how good Carson Wentz is. The ultimate is winning games. You won a Super Bowl not because the quarterback. You won a Super Bowl because of the diversity we had in that offense. We were able to run the ball. We were able to get the ball to multiple receivers. The reason why they won a Super Bowl against the vaunted, team that they've been.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Belichick takes your best weapon away. So they couldn't take a best weapon away because we had so many options that we could use. You look at it. Corey Clement had over 100 yards and four catches.
Yep.
Out of the backfield. Nelson Aguilar had one of the best games of life. Alshon Jeffrey had a great game. Zach Ertz had a great. They all had great games because there was diversity in the offense. We don't have any diversity. Number one, it's too easy to predict what we're going to doing, what we're doing. Number two, we don't have reliable pass catchers to go out there. So just looking at, you know, the way we run our offense, the best thing that you could do as an offense for us is run the rock, because when you can run the rock on a team and they can do nothing about it, that's the most demoralizing thing you can do to a defense, because if they can't stop it, it beats them down and it turns the game into your game instead of their game.
Yeah, and you know what? We don't know how much better of a quarterback Carson Wentz might be able to be if he has a really good running
Absolutely.
Game. You know, maybe those 35 passes a game dip down to 25, but they're more effective 25
exactly.
passes. You know, there's so many things that go with the running game, keeping the other team's defense on the field,
time
keeping
possession.
Your defense off the field. Yeah, all of those things. It just it leads you to believe that they should be running more, but for some reason they're not. Just a reminder, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast.